Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Today we'll be singing hymn number 537. If you'd like to turn to that just to make a few brief comments. This is an ancient Latin hymn, very unique hymn, one of the oldest in our hymn book. The author is believed to be a gentleman by the name of Thomas Solano from the 1200s, although you can find traces of this hymn and similar things to it back to the time of Bernard of Clairvaux in the 11th century, and some think even Gregory the Great back in the 600s. So this is a very, very old hymn. And as you hear it today, it has a very haunting melody if you've never heard it before. It's been worked into a number of other musical pieces by famous composers. I'll give you a list of them. Mozart, Mahler, Rachmaninoff, Liszt, and Verdi have all used movements from this in their work. It's also been in a lot of movies. Most famous recently is probably The Shining by Stephen King. The theme of the Last Judgment often dominated the interiors of sanctuaries during the Middle Ages, and we'll talk more about that in our homily today. By the late 1800s and 1900s, people didn't want these darker hymns in their hymn book, and so they started to be removed and not sung quite as often. But if you really examine the text closely, and I hope you do that today as we sing through it, I think you'll see also wonderful lines of God's grace and mercy, which ultimately save us and take us to our eternal home. So we join in singing our hymn. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 25. We are here in the middle of our Lord's discourse on the end times and the final day. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. It's very sad over the last week or so to watch the horrible fires that are sweeping through California, ironically destroying a city named Paradise. 90% of the buildings they claim are destroyed. I just can't imagine trying to get out of that type of devastation. One woman that was interviewed was talking about driving her car through this neighborhood full of homes that were on fire and trees. And all of a sudden, her car started to slow down to a stop, and she wouldn't go any further. She got out, and her tires had melted. All that was left was the metal radial part of the tire. It's just a horrific situation out there. Our hearts go out to those people, and our prayers are with them. One of our own students, of course, has family out there. And one of the men who escaped all of this in an interview said, "It looked like the gates of hell opened up." Whenever there's a situation that horrible, that's often used, the term is often used that something is apocalyptic, that it just looks like the end of the world. When there's a disastrous ending that is ahead and impending for people, it's understandable, of course, that fear rises up in people's hearts, just as Jesus addresses here about the final days of the world. There's a general sense in humanity that the world we live in is broken. Even though it's beautiful in many ways, God's creation is a wonderful place and many blessings for us, which we'll celebrate in Thanksgiving week. At the same time, we all recognize there's something wrong with it. It's broken. Nature itself rebels and struggles. St. Paul uses the expression that nature is held in bondage to decay, bondage to decay. And we can feel that likewise in our own bodies. We have a general sense of an end that's coming as well. A lot of people through the years, authors have tapped into this. If you were to Google the words doomsday novels, you would find hundreds if not thousands of titles of books just in the last 150 years that have tried to reach an audience with this type of a theme, because there's such a general sense inside of people, not just Christians, a general sense inside of humanity that there is this great end that is coming someday. And we can see it, even in the things that we might think in the world are the most permanent, we can see it. Over in Egypt, they spend millions of dollars every year on what's called the Supreme Council of Antiquities. And their goal is to just try to preserve the bricks of the pyramids from decaying. But that's something that's an impossible task over time. During the Middle Ages, the hymn we just sang being from that era, during the time of the Middle Ages, people probably dealt with these types of issues on a little more realistic day-to-day basis. A lot of people dealt with suffering and death in their lives frequently. At one point, the Black Plague wiped out one-third of the population of Europe. Just think of that. They claim that the bells on the churches were ringing every time someone died so frequently that they finally asked the pastors to stop doing that because it was so depressing after a while. Even here in the United States in the 1800s, 1860s or 70s, there was a pastor outside of Madison, Wisconsin, that just in 1 month's time buried over 30 children. So people in previous generations than us had to deal with this this problem in nature and in humanity, maybe in a more personal way than we do. We kind of try to shield ourselves from it and try not to have to be around it as much as we can. We've insulated ourselves, and we have many wonderful things that we get to enjoy in our lives. And yet, the harsh reality of the fallen nature of this world is still there. On your bulletin for today, if you want to look at that, there is a what's called a bas-relief. It's kind of a three-dimensional carving that was above a doorway of a church in France. And these were very common. It was very common to, at the exit, as you were leaving the sanctuary, Michelangelo did this with the Sistine Chapel as well, they would often put a large painting or bas-relief of of the judgment scene. You see Christ seated in the middle. And I always thought, what was it like for little children as they exited church? Look at the bottom panel. It's depicting the suffering of those who would be in hell. And to think that as a child, as you leave church, that would be your last image right above your head. How sad and difficult that must have been. And that's really about as far away from what God wants his faithful to have in mind when they think of the end time. That's as far away from what the Lord wants us to have in our minds and hearts when we think of the last days. Nothing could be further from what he wants us to be focused on. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who came into the world to rescue us from all of this, he tells us instead that he doesn't want us to live our lives in gloom and fear and the sense of destruction. To those who trust in him and to those who hold on to him by faith, he wants them to think about the wonderful hope of heaven that they have waiting for them. And when we think of the day when this will happen, if it's in our lifetime or when God takes you from this earth, he wants it to be such a wonderful thing. Listen to what he says. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Lift up your heads. Look up. This is a positive thing. This is a wonderful thing. Even a day like that could be a blessing for those who are believers in Christ waiting for him to come back into this world. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Redemption, what an important word in the Bible. Redemption means that God, through the blood of Christ, his own Son, has bought you back to himself. He has, through that blood, redeemed you. He has wiped away all of your guilt and made everything perfect between you and himself. So there's no reason for those who believe in Christ to have any fear of Judgment Day whatsoever. Because of Christ, we can imagine ourselves as if we were Jesus himself standing before God on Judgment Day to be led into heaven. That's how perfectly holy and righteous and forgiven you are through the blood of Christ. And that's why Jesus says to us, you don't have to be afraid of this day. Look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In other words, the final outcome of what Jesus came to do on the cross over 2,000 years ago is finally coming to fruition on that day for you. And it's going to be a day of joy. It's going to be a day of excitement. To think what it will be like to actually get to walk through the gates of heaven that we've been wondering about our whole life, that the believers in this world have been looking forward to and wrestling with those images in their mind their whole life, finally to get to walk through those gates and to see what a beautiful home our Savior has prepared for us. So he says, lift up your heads. Don't have them hung down at the ground. Lift up your heads. Just like little kids waiting for Christmas. Be excited about that day because of the tremendous blessings that are going to be poured into our lives. This is how Peter wrote it to his hearers. He says, look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Pray that it would happen faster. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Why? Because he says, in keeping with his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Not an earth that's going to keep burning. Not an earth that's going to keep having floods and disasters and hurricanes and all the problems that come to our bodies and our lives here in this fallen world. We get to live in a new heaven and a new earth. A place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So look up, lift up your heads for that wonderful day. Amen. Please join me then in the prayer, the collect, on page 165, prayer number 134. And please rise. Mighty, eternal, and merciful God, by your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you established the kingdom of grace for us in your holy church here on earth, that we might believe the forgiveness of our sins, since you are a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. We beseech you, graciously forgive us all our sins through the same your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.